Today, I think we're going to recognize that sort of in a small way, however we want God to treat us, we need to be mindful of how we're treating Him as well. It's important. You see, because right before this, it was about asking, seeking, knocking. Who is it we're asking, seeking, and knocking? It's to God, right? And so God is actually moved by how we treat others as well, and by how we treat Him. If we treat God as unholy and we misuse His name, how do you think He's going to respond to us whenever we call on His name for blessing? You see, it does matter how we treat God. And it also matters how we treat others when we go to ask, seek, and knock of God. How many of us as parents in this room are ready to give blessing to our child when our child's got another child by the throat? And they're saying, bless me, Mom. Well, hang on just a minute while I pound my brother in the face, right? I mean, isn't that, how do you think God feels when He sees all of this violence that goes on? All this hatred and contentions and jealousies, and dare I say, sometimes even, oh, God forbid, in His body, the church. I mean, we really just need to be mindful of this whenever we think about it. So he invites us to come and continually ask, to continually seek, and to continually knock, and He's promising He's gonna respond. He says we will receive, you know, and we will find Him, and He will open the door. But guys, we need to be considering how we are doing at this right here, because this sums up the Law and the Prophets. So how do you want to be treated? Let's just think about it a little bit from a human perspective. Would you like it if someone gossips about you? How does it feel when you find out that somebody's been talking about you? You know, and I mean, these are questions I'm asking myself too, guys, because we always do have to think about these things. How do we feel whenever somebody literally condemns us? But they've decided not only what we've done wrong, but they've decided what punishment we should get as well. And they've done written us off. How do we feel when somebody steals from us? Have you ever been stolen from? I'm sure everybody's had something stolen from them. How about in a big way? Did you ever come home and your house had been open? You've been violated in that way? Your safety, you know, and all your stuff's gone? How about, you know, it just, I mean, I just kind of got on the man side of things. How would you feel, how would you like it if somebody looks at your wife or your daughter in an unholy way? You know, pornography is this huge problem in our culture today. That woman is somebody's daughter, right? That woman is somebody's, might be somebody's wife. And same way with man, too. And, you know, so ever how we want to apply that, because we've got ladies in the room as well, you know, we want to think about these things and so on and so forth, right? We could just keep going. I mean, we could spend the whole day. How would you like it if someone cut you off on the road? Right? You don't like it, so then we probably shouldn't cut other people off on the road, right? So we can just keep going on and on and on, just talk to you in an ignorant or arrogant way, or look down on you because of your social status, or judge the way that I look, or, you know, you get what I'm saying? I mean, are we jiving here? Are we all on the same page? So the way that we would want someone else to treat us would be the way that we should treat others. Amen? You notice how Jesus said in verse 12, for this is the Law and the Prophets? There's another place where He makes a similar statement in Matthew chapter 22, verses 37 through 40. So let's take a look there. It's up on the screen as well. Jesus said to him, this is to the man who said, what shall I do? What things should I do to inherit eternal life? And He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. Which are the greatest commandments is actually what this was. This is where the man asked Him, which are the greatest commandments? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. Now this is Jesus talking, right? This is the one who has inspired all of the Word of God. This is the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. This is His teaching on the Law and the Prophets. And He says, so to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So how are we doing already? You know? Man, I know I'm lacking, amen? I still got a lot of work to do on this one. And then he says, and the second is like it. Okay? You see, doesn't this fit this whole teaching on the golden rule? The way we treat others, right? It actually affects God. The second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Wow, this is a pretty incredible teaching here. It's revolutionary. Because the people that he was talking to were people that, many of them, Pharisees and Sadducees, they had decided that this is how you really live a holy life. You need to check off this box and that box, and you need to be like us. You need to wear a little box that's on your head that has the Word of God in it, because God said that you should keep the Word of God on your mind at all times. So you wear this little box. I mean, have you ever looked at a picture of what a Pharisee looked like? Okay? And something about their prayers, and they would wear this thing that had these little tassels around the bottom of it, and it represented, you know, having that, rubbing those for their prayers. And are you kind of gathering? Can we relate that to modern day terms? Amen. How about is there a denomination that thinks you got to rub certain things to say certain prayers to get to God? I mean, really, it transfers, guys. We're not that much different than what we were back then. And a lot of times we can think there's just these certain things that we got to do to get to God. How about whenever Jesus taught us about the prayer, the example prayer in these chapters we've been studying, which it was an example, right? But he said, don't be doing vain repetitions. How many of us could quickly recite what we call the Lord's Prayer in a moment here because we have said it over and over again by memorizing it? Not a bad thing to memorize. But that isn't the only prayer that gets you to God, right? It's not a bad thing, but it's not meant to be the only prayer that we recite over and over and over again, because that's exactly what he was teaching us, right? And so he was showing us a way that we dedicate ourselves to the Lord, because that's what God wants, isn't just our actions. He wants our heart. Amen? He's wanting our heart, and he sees that he has our heart by the way that we treat others as well. And so, if we really want to be close to God, if we really want to fulfill the law and the prophets, the way we do that is by giving Jesus our heart and really living for him. And this is what he's saying. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul and all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself. You see, this is actually, he's not just pulling this out of thin air. He's not taking it from the Ten Commandments either. These are actually quotes from the Old Testament Scripture. It's a combination of two Old Testament verses. The first one's from Deuteronomy 6:5, which this doesn't lessen the Ten Commandments. All I'm saying is, a lot of people think that since the Ten Commandments were written in stone, then we still have to try to figure out the way that we can fulfill those perfectly, and that's the way to please God. That's not necessarily the case. Now, the Ten Commandments are important. They show us moral law. They show us the basis for moral law. But Jesus is actually responding to this from these two verses, one from Deuteronomy, one from Leviticus. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And then the second one that he recites here basically is from Leviticus 19:18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the children of your people. And I want you to see the context that he's pulling it from. But you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So it has to do with not holding a grudge against people. And who is it that's saying this? It's the one who has authority to say it. I am the Lord, he says. And so we need to hear who this is that's commanding us and who it is that's showing us. And this sums up the law and the prophets. This is what it all hangs on. So I'm just going to ask you something. We've kind of studied how would we want to be treated by others, right? That's how we want to treat others. That's how we want to treat people. Now, we're going to kind of get into the mind of God a little bit. Now, I'm not going to pretend that I know the absolute mind of God, but I'm going to take this and I'm going to apply it just a little bit to our relationship with God. So in this next slide, we're going to wonder just a little bit for a moment. We're going to just wonder what it must be like for God. If you were God, would you like it when people say that they love you, but spend very little time with you. You kind of get where I'm going with this? How would you feel, you know? I mean, so we'll just transpose that thought into human relationships, okay? I love my wife, but I'm only going to meet with her maybe once a week for about an hour. How do you think she'd feel? Do you think she'd feel loved? Not very loved. Okay, so if you were God, and you got all these people that are saying that they love you, but they don't really want to spend any time with you, you wouldn't feel real loved, okay? All right, so how about if you were God, would you like it when people use your name wrongly and then call on your name for blessing? So what do you think? If you were God, would you like that? Okay, your name is holy. Your name is powerful. You know? Whatever's prayed in your name, it will be done. And then the whole world uses your name as a blaspheme or a curse word. Probably wouldn't feel, you wouldn't like that, right? Okay, how about the next one? Just some thought here. If you were God, would you like it when people blame you for all the problems, right? God, why did you let this happen? How come you're like that? And that's terrible for God to allow that to happen. Well, good God would never let this happen. And give the credit for everything else, all the other blessings to somebody else. I kind of jumbled up the wording there. But they blame you for all the problems and they give the credit for blessings to everything else. You know, well, boy, I'm glad that medicine healed somebody. Now, I'm not saying medicine's never used of God, but I can tell you if the medicine worked, it's because God allowed it to. Amen? And so like, you know, we'll say, boy, I sure am glad that person made that right decision, but hey, wait a minute. We prayed for that person. So we need to make sure we give credit where credit is due, right? If you were God, would you like it when, the next one, when they serve you last, even after themselves? You know, giving God the leftovers of our time and our energy. Would it make you feel good if you were God then? Probably not. It wouldn't make you feel very lifted up and important, right? You know, and this happens far too often, doesn't it? A lot of people say, well, I just don't have time to serve God. I just don't have time to do that. I don't have enough to tithe. I don't have enough for all. God's not looking for our leftovers, guys. He's looking for the first fruits. First fruit says love. First fruit says God's first in my life, right? And I'm going to trust Him to take care of the rest. How about if you were God, would you like it when people break their commitments to you? I probably wouldn't. I don't like it when somebody does that to me now, and I'm just a mere human, you know? But how much more for God, right? These are just a few, but you know, it makes me think about it. So we want God to be there when we're in trouble, but how well are we there for God when we're not in trouble? So let's think about that, and let's let that soak in a little bit, because I think this golden rule applies in this. Because we see how Jesus most certainly thought it applied by the way He showed, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. They're connected. And it has to do with calling on God rightly. The list kind of goes on. I got a little carried away here. How about, would you like it if you were God and they treated your children poorly? You probably wouldn't like that. How about if they view coming into your presence as a burden? Well, I guess I got to go to church today. You know, well, I guess maybe I'll go worship. Probably wouldn't. You know, God's seeing it all, isn't He? How about if they question your very existence while the evidence is just so overwhelming? You know, the whole world is saying that somehow they would rather believe that we came off the stardust of aliens or stars or I don't know, because they can't explain where life began. My goodness, this describes where life began. And there's overwhelming evidence for it. Amen? Absolutely. God created us and His rules apply over us, and He has. If you were God, how well could you really relate to people like this? I have a pretty tough time. Yeah. Praise God, God is patient with us. Amen. God has been patient with us as a country. And I think it's time for us to turn our hearts back to God. And it's going to start right here in the church. And so whenever we get real with God and we really live it out, and I think God will respond to our prayers in a lot of different way. Amen? And I think that when we're there for God during the good times, God's going to be overwhelmingly pleased to be there for us during the hard times. Amen? Because we're already walking with Him then. And I think that we're beginning to see a turning point, like even in our nation. Guys, the way this is going to carry on is if we really get on our knees and continue to pray and live like Christians, we're going to see great things changing. I am so pleased in our ladies' Bible study group that meets on Sunday mornings because they've been going through a book about prayer, fervent. And I can tell you, prayer is the only thing that's going to change anything. And even in ourselves, guys, I can't change myself unless I pray and ask God first. I need God's strength. I need His power. Learning how to just live a life that is prayerful is so important. And learning how to live out this golden rule. So when we apply the golden rule to our relationship with others, guys, don't forget your relationship with God. If you want Him to answer you when you knock, maybe we should be quick to answer when He knocks. Amen? We've been going through the letters to the churches on Sunday nights, and I'm just going to tell you guys, don't miss out on this. You know, I know that we have like three services a week. Two of them are evening services, and I know it may be hard, you know, for you to think of sacrificing that time, but I can tell you, you'll be blessed. We've been going through these letters to the churches, and man, are they ever powerful letters, and they speak to us today. So let's look here at just one small caption, and this comes, we're going to be covering this soon in our study, but this comes from Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20, and a lot of times this verse is used to unbelievers, to unsaved people, and I'm sure it's true, you know, Jesus is, He's standing there and He's waiting for us to respond to Him, but when this verse was spoken in the book of Revelation, this was actually to the church, and He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and dine with him and he with me." Jesus is not forceful. He's a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do everything that's right for you. But He's waiting for you to respond to Him. Praise God that He is so gentle and He is so kind and He is so loving and He is so patient. But guys, don't forget something. He is God. He has the last say. He is going to judge us. Judgment Day is final too. There will not be a second chance. So guys, listen to me. Regardless of whether you've been sitting in a church and you're part of His church and you maybe have been a little rebellious and you need some encouragement today to move forward, Jesus is knocking. And He's saying, "I'm here. Open the door and I'll come in." Maybe you're sitting here today and you're realizing, man, I've never really surrendered my heart to Jesus. I'm not saved and I need to. He's not going to kick the door down, guys. You need to open it and let Him in. You just need to say, "Here I am. Please save me. Can't do this on my own. I'm going to die and I'm going to go to hell if I don't have salvation from Jesus. Amen. So Lord, please forgive me and be my Lord and Savior." Lord means master, and from that day on you belong to Jesus and we need to do what He says. So let's see how we live this out. I'm going to pray for us. Okay? Dear Father, this is the first day of the week, and so we're sitting here. This new week is ahead of us. I pray that You'll help us to live out this golden rule in this next week. Lord, one day at a time. Lord, I make unwise choices every day. Please forgive me. God, I sin against You. Please forgive me. Let me never get used to that sin. Help me to always fight the battle against it. And Lord, if there be anybody here today that realizes that if they died right now, they would not go to heaven. They would go to hell. I pray that today they would respond to You and you're knocking at the door of their heart, give their life to you. Just say, Jesus, be my Lord. I believe that you died on the cross for my sin and was raised from the dead. And I want to give my life to you and follow you today. Lord, help us to respond to you. Now, my second part of that prayer is, Lord, we are your church, and I pray to God today that you're not standing on the outside of that door knocking, wanting in, and we haven't let you in. Lord, I pray that not only are you already in here, but we are following you actively as church members. We are doing what you've called us to do. We are living it out every day. Lord, if we find that we are wanting right now, we are lacking in these areas, and we're convicted over that, then I praise you for the sweet conviction because it leads to life. I pray, Lord, that as you're knocking to the door of our heart, that we will respond and let you in, that we would just respond to what you're calling us to do, pray, seek your face this morning, turn our lives over to you. And when we leave this place, we will be dedicated unto you and to doing what you've called us to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
If there's anybody that needs to come forward during this song, I invite you just to give your heart to Jesus today. That's all right.
You don't want to stand? Out of my bondage, sorrow, and night, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come, into thy freedom, gladness, and light. Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my sickness, into thy health, out of my want, and into thy well. Out of my sin and into thyself, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of my shameful failure and loss, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into the glorious gain of thy cross, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of earth's sorrows, into thy path, out of life's dark, and into thy calm. Out of distress to jubilant sound, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of unrest and arrogant pride, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into thy blessed will to abide, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of myself to dwell in thy love, out of despair into raptures above. Upward for crown wings like a dove, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the fear and dread of the tomb, Jesus, I come, Jesus, I come. Into the joy and light of thy throne, Jesus, I come to thee. Out of the depth of ruin untold, into the peace of thy sheltering fold, ever thy glorious face to behold, Jesus, I come to thee.
And you know what the best news is? When you come to Jesus, he promised he's not going to turn you away. Amen? He'll give us everything we need to live out this life. Everything that's needed for godliness and for life is available to us. Amen? Praise the Lord. So do we have any birthdays that we want to recognize today? Does anybody have a birthday?
We do.
Oh, I see a hand up. All right. Yours was yesterday. Give me five. All right. Go on up there and let us sing happy birthday to you, buddy.
Anything you want to say?
Yesterday I had a birthday and I had a Ninja Turtles Elf Shadows cake. It had two toys, which is my favorite, Bebop and Rocksteady.
All right. You did all right, didn't you, brother? I love you getting older. That's big.